Welcome back to our Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu in conjunction with the OU and the Nachyomi Project. In today's shir, we study Yirmiyahu Perek Yud, Chapter 10. Let's begin by reading the first several psukim, and that will give us an idea of what direction Yirmiyahu is going in this perek. First of all, note we're beginning a new unit with a new opener, Shimu et Davar Asher Dibera Adonai Alechem Beit Yisrael. This perek will relate to the previous one, but it definitely begins something new, with the opening line, Shimu et Davar, listen to this statement, or this warning, Asher Dibera Adonai Alechem Beit Yisrael, that God is speaking to you, the house of Israel. So we should expect a certain warning, and the warning will be quite clear. Kol Amar Adonai, this is the word of God. El Derech HaGoyim Al Tilmadu, U'miotot HaShamayim Al Techatu, Ki Echatu HaGoyim Mehema. The opening warning is not to follow the ways, or not to learn from the ways of the other nations, and also not to fear the signs from the heavens. Al Techat means don't be afraid. So U'miotot HaShamayim, from the signs of the heavens, don't be afraid. Why? Ki echatu ha-goyim mehema. Things like that, other nations are afraid of. But you, the nation of Israel, should not worry about these signs from other nations. Once again, we find here a reference in Sefer Yirmiyahu to Psukim in the book of Dvarim. Recall from chapter 18 in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshat Shoftim, where Chumash gives a warning about when we come into the land, not to follow the ways of the other nations. We'll read several Psukim in Sefer Dvarim, chapter 18, Perek Yudchet Pasuk Tet, verse 9. Ki atam ba la'aretz, asher Adonai Elohecha noten lach, lo tilmad lasot ketoavot ha-goyim ha'em. When you come in the land, don't learn to do the abominations of these other nations. Then lo yimitzeh b'cham avir b'no v'ito v'esh, kosem k'samim, moneinu menachesh u'mechashef. Don't follow the ways, especially the customs about going to soothsayers and different magicians and things like that. All these different things in which a person wants to find what will be in the future. They were told, Ki tovat Adonai ko se'ele, u'biglao tovot ha'ele, Adonai elhecha marish otam mipanecha. These ways are abominations in the eyes of God, and it's because of that behavior God kicked them out, and instead, tamim tia im Adonai elhecha. You, my people, have to be not just simple with God, but believing and straightforward. And the basic idea here is that what happens to the Jewish people was a function of their deeds. One of the most basic points in Chumash, in our relationship with God, is our understanding that what happens to Am Yisrael, to our nation, as a whole, is a function of our deeds. It doesn't always apply immediately on the individual level, but on a national level, over and over again, Chumash reiterates that the fate of Am Yisrael is a function of its deeds. If it's properly representing God, God will be good to it, it will help it prosper, and help us help God. If we do a poor job representing God, he'll bring punishment. All the tochachot follow in the same idea. If people are looking to astrologers, or people read poems and things like that, that shows a lack of belief not only in God, but also a lack of belief in the very relationship between God and his people. Then we read as follows. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ki ha-goyim e'la sh'ata yoresh otam, the nations that you're going to inherit, el mononi ve'el kosmi mishmo, they go to sorcerers and magicians. Vata, you, lo chein natan lecha Adonai Elohecha. You instead, that's not for you. Instead, Navi mikirbacha me'achecha kamon yakim lecha Adonai Elohecha, elav tishmau. Instead, you're going to go to a Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu explains to the people in Sefer Dvarim that the special relationship between God and his people is built on the idea that when they want to find guidance of what they should be doing, what's right and what's wrong, and what direction they should follow, their guide is the Navi, and not things like astrology or signs or omens. And therefore, with that in mind, if we go back now to Yirmiyahu, what he's saying in Pasuk Bet, when God's saying, don't, El Derech HaGoyim Al Timadu, don't learn from those nations, U'miotot HaShamayim Al Tichatu, don't be worried about signs from the heaven, there's an application of Moshe's guidelines from Sefer Dvarim. And once again, we find Yirmiyahu applying basic principles from Sefer Dvarim to what's happening in this time period. Why? Ki yichatu ha-goyim mehema. Those nations are afraid of those things. But that's not for you. Then he explains in Pasuk Gimel, Ki chukot ha-amim hevehu. These laws or these ways or these customs of these nations is emptiness. Hevehu is a difficult word to translate. The idea is an idea of worthless or emptiness. Ki etz miyar karato. Now he's going to explain how meaningless these idols are and this way of the other nations are. Because these idols, what are they made of? We take a tree from the forest and cut it down. That's how we get the wood. Masei de charash b'matzad. And then we take the artisan, the charash is someone who cuts and shapes either wood or metal or any type of material, taking a piece of raw material and turning it into a shape. That's a charash. But matzad is a utensil in which he shapes that piece of material. And therefore, he's saying all these idols the people are following are simply a piece of material, a piece of wood, sculpted by an artisan with a special utensil, but that's all they are. After he makes a certain shape, what else does he do? Bechesef uvezahav yepeu. After he has this piece of wood, a piece of wood isn't pretty enough, therefore he coats it either with silver or gold. So he makes it nice, covering it with silver and gold. B'masmerot uvemakavot yichatzkum. Then he takes nails and hammers, and small little nails, and strengthens it, strengthens the covering on it, so it won't fall off. V'lo yafik, it won't fall down. Basically, he's saying that all these idols are simply man-made, and they stand up straight only because man makes them. Then he's going to make fun of these idols. G'tomer miksha hema, v'lo yidaberu. Most commentators explain that this is referring to a type of a scarecrow. A tomer is following the word like a tamar, like tzadik tamar yifrach, a palm tree which stands up straight and tall, and very high up, but made out of wood. Miksha, most likely, is referring to kishuim, a field of some vegetable like a cucumber. What they do in the fields, in these vegetable fields, they would put up a scarecrow so the birds wouldn't come and eat the vegetables. And therefore, they call these idols like a scarecrow. Ketomer miksha hema. V'lo yidaberu. They don't speak. They're only a piece of wood. Nosoi yinasu ki lo yitzadu. They have to be carried, these idols, because they can't walk on their own. There's a nice play on words here. Beforehand, he talked about, in the end of Pasuk Gimel, it was, yidei charash b'ma'atzad, and now ki lo yitzadu. Two different words, but they balance each other. These idols that the people are making, that they're following, they're like a scarecrow. Means they don't have the ability to speak. They have to be carried because they can't walk on their own. Al tirumihem. Don't be afraid of them. Ki lo yareu. They don't know how to punish. They're not able to punish you. Vegam heitiv inotam. Nor can they help you. There's a polemic here against idol worship. And the main point being, don't worry about these idols. They don't have the ability to punish you. They don't have the ability to reward you. That is in the hands of God. When the people see a danger from outside enemies, they want to know what's going to be. Instead of recognizing that their fate is in the hand of God, instead they're turning to all these different omens and all these different witchcraft things and astrologers and people like that. And the Navi is telling them that whole approach is empty. Those gods don't have the ability to do good or bad. Instead, your God has the ability to do that, and he'll treat you based on your deeds. After mocking these idols and that approach to idol worship, or astrology, whatever he's referring to here, kuchot, the ways of the other nations, now the Navi is going to describe how great God is in contrast to them. Me'en kamocha Adonai, Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Me'en kamocha Adonai, there's no one like you, God. Gadol ata, you're great. V'gadol shimcha bikvura, your name, your reputation is great with your strength. Milo yiracham melech hagoyim, who should not fear you? You, the King of all nations. Ki l'cha yata, for you it's good to be praised. Ki b'cho chachmei ha-goyim, u'b'cho machutam, me'en kamocha. Because in all the wisdom and the wise people of the other nations, and in all their countries, there is no God like you. There's no king like you. These psukim hopefully sound familiar to you. If you remember in the Slichot prayers, in the opening section, we quote from these psukim as we approach God during the high holiday season. And we approach God in Slichot, praying to him, hoping that he'll decide our fate in a good light. We quote from these psukim from Sefer Yirmiyahu, and now we see why we do that for a very good reason. The whole point that Yirmiyahu is making is the fate of his people are a function of their deeds, and as we approach our day of judgment on Rosh Hashanah, and we want a good judgment, we remind ourselves in our opening prayer that our fate is a function of our deeds. And when we daven Slichot, it's not only to ask God for mercy upon us, but it's also to remind us what we need to do to be deserving of that mercy. And hence, understanding these psukim hopefully can help us understand better our tefillot, our prayers, when we say slichot. After exalting God and showing how he's different than the gods of the other nations, Yirmiyahu is going to return now to his mockery of the other gods. Pasachet, verse 8. Uvachat, either together or at once, yivaru vichsalu. All these other gods they will look foolish and stupid. Musar havalim etzu. The message that they're giving is empty because it's only a piece of wood. Now the word yivaru, the Yirmiyahu will use it several times in this parak, stems from the word abar is a foolish person. Ish bar lo yeda. If you remember in the Mizmor Shir Leom HaShabbat, ish bar lo yeda, a foolish person will not understand. Vichselu is very similar, is someone, achsil is someone who's foolish. So these idols, or this approach that the other nations have, it will turn out that they will look foolish and stupid because the message they're giving is empty because they're simply made out of wood. There's nothing in them. Now he continues about how empty they are. How are these idols made? Pasuk Tet. Kesef Meruka mitashish yuvo. They'll take very fancy silver from the city of Tarshish. Tarshish was a port. Tarsus is a port in the Mediterranean basin in the southern part of Turkey. V'zahav miupaz maseh harash videt zorif. They'll also bring gold from a place called Upaz. And all is the work of an artisan, of a silversmith here, or a goldsmith. Videt zorif, also formed by the person who takes the metal and gives it a shape. The tzoref heats up this metal, boils it, and then forms it into a certain shape. Tchelet v'argamon devusham. These idols, we dress them with tchelet and argamon with purple and scarlet. Maseh chachamim kulam. They're made with great wisdom and great beauty. However, that's all they are. They don't have any power themselves. They can't be any stronger than the people who made them. And they might look impressive, but they are not gods. In contrast to that, Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Ba'adonai Elohim Emet. Our God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is a true God, Elohim Emet. Hu Elohim Chaim, He is the living God, U'melech Olam, He is the King forever. Mikitzpo Tirash Aretz, when He gets angry, the entire earth shakes, like an earthquake. Lo Yachilu Goyim Zamo, there's no nation cannot contain His anger. This is a real God. This God has true power, and no one can protect themselves from Him. And when He gets angry, no one can protect themselves from His punishment. Now, in a very interesting manner, we switch from Hebrew to Aramaic. Why we're switching to Aramaic? Some people say the Yirmiyahu is writing a letter to the people going to exile, so they would know what to say in Aramaic to the new neighbors who are going to try to convince them to follow other gods. But the message here is quite simple. Kidna temrun lahon. This is the following what you should say to them, to those idol worshippers who are trying to convince you to follow their ways. You tell them as follows. Elahaya dishmaya v'arka lo avadu, the gods who did not make heavens and earth. Yavadu me'ara u'mintum shmaya ele. These gods who did not make the heavens and earth, they will be destroyed or vanish from the face of the heavens and earth. There's a cute play on words here in Aramaic, saying the real God, the God of Israel, He's the God who made the heavens and earth. But the other gods who did not make heavens and earth, the gods who were empty, who were nothing, they're going to vanish from the face of the earth and the heavens. And that's a simple message that God is telling the people in Aramaic. After that statement, we're going to go and explain it now in Hebrew. Again, Yirmiyahu is going to return and explain the difference between the true God of Israel and the other gods. Pasuk Yudbet. Ose Eretz B'Kocho. What can God do? God was able to make the land with His strength. Mechin Tevo B'Chochmato. That's a parallel description of the same idea. He created everything with His wisdom. U'vitvunato natash shamayim. With His wisdom, He was able to spread out the heavens. Meaning, once again, a beautiful poetic description of how God is the creator of all nature. Now we're going to talk about how God brings rain. L'kol tito hamon mayim b'shamayim. He gives a noise and a sound, and a tremendous amount of water comes from heaven, like rain. V'alenis'im mikseh ha'aretz. He brings up clouds from the edge of the earth. As we see clouds coming in from the horizon, God brings them, which will bring the rain. Brakim lematarasa. He causes lightning, and the lightning is what brings the rain afterwards. V'yotzei ruach me'otzotav. And He brings His wind from His storehouses. Compared to that, nivar chol adam midat. Any regular person is foolish if he doesn't accept the knowledge of this. Hovish kol tzoref mipasa. Hovish miloshen busha. Anyone who sees and understands the act of God is embarrassed compared to the work of the artisan who makes an idol. Why? Ki sheker nisko v'lo rachbam. When the tzoref, when the metal maker heats up the metal and pours it into its form, nisko is to pour something. Nesach is when you pour a libation. But when they pour this metal and turn it into a form, what they're making is sheker. It's false. Why? Why is it false? Below rachbam, they have no spirit in them. They look like an object, but all it is the work of an artisan. It's nothing real. Therefore, he concludes in Pasuk Tetvav, Hevel Hema, Maset Tatuim. They're empty. They're nothing. It's an act of delusion. Beit Pekudatam Yovedu. When their time for punishment comes, they'll be destroyed. There he ends his description of how empty those idols are. Even though they're beautifully made by artisans, nonetheless, they have no power. In contrast, Pasuk Tetzayin, verse 16, Lo Ha'ele Chelek Yaakov. This is not the portion of Yaakov that is the house of Israel. Because who is their God? Ki Yotzer HaKolhu, our God, is the creator of everything. V'Yisrael Shevet Nachloto. The people of Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. That's the nation that he chose to represent them. Adonai Tzavot Shemo. The God of all hosts, that's his name. After making that statement and saying that their fate is in the hand of the true God and the real God, because they're not listening to this message, they're about to go into exile, and therefore he warns them in Pasuk Yedzayin, Isfi mi eretz kinatech. The word kinatech is difficult to translate. It's the only time it's used in Tanakh, and it seems to be referring to their belongings, or what they've bought, or their possessions. And the Navi says, gather from the land, gather from your places, gather all your belongings, because you're about to go into exile. Yoshevet v'matzor, this nation sitting under siege in their cities. Get all your belongings together, because in a very short time, you'll be sent away. And listen how the Navi describes how they're going to go into exile. Pasuk Yedchet, verse 18. Kicho amar Adonai, this is the word of God. Hineni koleat yoshvei ha'aretz b'pamazot. This time, I'm going to shoot them out. When you, for example, in a slingshot, when you take the stone and shoot it, that's called the kloa, like by David and Goliath. The Navi describes how Am Yisrael is going to be thrown out of Yerushalayim. It's like a stone being thrown out of a slingshot. You're going to be slung out of your city this time. V'hatzeroti lehem l'manimtzau. I'm going to cause you terrible suffering in order that you're caught and that you'll be exiled. After this prediction and this warning, Yirmiyahu begins a prayer which seems to be a prayer of the city of Yerushalayim. He's speaking on behalf of his people, but not just on behalf of his people, as we'll see. It seems like he's speaking as a prayer on behalf of the city of Yerushalayim that's about to lose its inhabitants. This prayer will also reflect the understanding that the people had that maybe they're being punished, but won't be so bad. We'll read and we'll explain. Pasuk Yetet, verse 19. Oy li al shivri, woe is to me because of my destruction. Nachala makati, the makah, the wound that I have, is my possession. Meaning, it seems to be the fate of the people always to be wounded, always to be attacked. On the other hand, v'ani amarti, ach zecholi v'seno. The people of Yerushalayim were thinking, this is simply an illness, but I can carry it. There's a difference when you have a terminal illness, when you're sick, but the end is near, and even now you're suffering, it's only going to get worse, and the patient is not going to survive. There's other types of illnesses where it's very difficult, but if you have enough strength, you can survive through it, and hopefully you'll get better. So the siege that Yerushalayim is under, and the military defeats that it suffered over the last several years, the people were saying, we can hold on, we can carry this, we can survive this, and maybe we'll get better. That was the view of the people, even though they've been defeated several times. They're hoping the destruction won't happen, and they're sure that they can carry this and hold on and survive and not have to go into exile. However, Yerushalayim replies now, Oli Shadud. However, that won't be the case. Instead, Yerushalayim says, Oli Shadud. My tents have been robbed. Now, is Oli the Beit HaMikdash, referring to the Mishkan or the Beit HaMikdash, or the houses, could be understood either way. V'chom mitarai nitako. Continuing this imagery of a tent, all the strings that hold the tent up have been cut off. Benai yitzauni veinam. My children, my sons, have left me, have gone out, and they're no longer there. Yerushalayim is talking about its people that have left the city. Ein note od holi. There's no one left to build my tent and to strengthen it. Umekim yuriyati. And to straighten out and fasten the canvas of my tent. Why did this happen? Kiniv aru haroim. Once again, the word ba'ar, foolish. Kiniv aru haroim. The shepherds here are referring to the leaders of the people. they've been foolish. That Adonai lo dorashu, they didn't search for God. Now this idea, Hashem lo dorashu, that they didn't search for God, goes back to the theme we saw in the beginning, that the leaders of Am Yisrael are supposed to look for God when they have a problem. Instead, they were turning to the signs from heavens, to idols, the magicians, etc., instead of turning to God, going against what Dvarim Perek Yudchet was talking about. Therefore, Al Kain lo iskilu. Therefore, they didn't understand what was happening. V'chol maritam nefotza. All of their flock of the shepherds, means the people that were being led by these leaders, misleading them, telling them that Yerushalayim will survive and that they can fight Bavel, all of their flock, all their sheep, are going to scatter around, and that will happen when Am Yisrael will go into exile in a very short time. Now we quote, rather parenthetically, about the rumor about Bavel approaching. Pasuk Bet, verse 22, Ko shmua hinei va'ah. We hear a voice, a rumor coming. V'rash gadom eretz tzafon. A terrible noise, a terrible earthquake from the north. The land is trembling. L'sum et arei Yehuda shmama ma'on tanim. They will make the cities of Yehuda desolate. Yirmiyahu now concludes the parak with a short prayer. Pasuk Gimel. Yadati Adonai, ki lo la'adam darko. Yirmiyahu says, I know God. But man doesn't decide his own ways. Lo li'ish holech ve'chin itzado. It's not for the man who's going to prepare his ways. Meaning, man doesn't decide his fate is decided by God. Nonetheless, because God is deciding his fate, he says, I'm willing to suffer. Yesreini Adonai, ach b'mishpat. I'm willing to take my punishment. Am Yisrael is willing to take the punishment, but he begs them, make it just. Give us what we deserve, but not more. Al babcha pentamiteni. Don't overdo your anger, lest I become lessened to the point that we won't exist anymore. Instead, Yirmiyahu ends the parak with a famous pasuk that we quote at the Seder when we invite Eliyahu Hanavi. But pay attention, there's a line here which we don't pay attention to when we read this at the Seder. Yirmiyahu prays as follows, Shfuch hamatcha al hagoyim asher lo yida'ucha, v'amishpachot asher b'shimcha lo korau. Yirmiyahu asks God, instead of putting your anger on us, throw your anger on the nations that don't know you, and on the families that don't call out in your name. Why? Ki achlu et Yaakov, because they're eating up Yaakov, your people, v'achluhu v'ichaluhu. They're eating them up and destroying them and wiping them out, v'tneveyu heshamu. Their beautiful pastures are being destroyed, probably here referring to the Beit HaMikdash, that they're destroying the house of God and exiling his people. Now what Yirmiyahu is saying here is also a hint to why Am Yisrael is being punished. He doesn't say, just say, God, Yirmiyahu doesn't just pray, throw your anger at the Goyim. Which nations? Goyim asher lo yada'ucha, nations that don't know you. We saw in Perek Tet, and this is the connection to Perek Tet in my opinion, and Perek Tet ended with the solution to the problem. In what way does Am Yisrael need to act in order to be worthy of salvation? There he said in Pasuk Bet, in Chav Gimel, we talked about that in last year. The wise and the wealthy should not gloat in their wealth and their wisdom or in their strength. Instead, the people should use their wisdom and understanding and get to know God. But what does it mean to know God? Yirmiyahu explained, I'm God who does kindness and tzedakah mishpat in the land. And therefore, the Navi is saying, who should you punish? Nations who don't know you. Means nations who don't do tzedakah mishpat. And also, mishpachot asher b'shimcha lo korau. The kriya b'shem Hashem is the reason why Am Yisrael was chosen. This idea of kriya b'shem Hashem, to call out to God when you're in trouble, and to call out about God when you're successful, and make His name known, those are the jobs of Am Yisrael, to know God, and to call out His name. Therefore, Yirmiyahu is saying, punish those who deserve to be punished. So on the one hand, he's asking God to punish the nations, but not a blanket, anyone who's not Jewish. He's saying, punish those who deserve to be punished, punish those who don't do what God expects from man, punish those nations who don't know God in the biblical sense, meaning doing tzedakah mishpat, punish those nations who don't call out to God and don't make a name for God. I think what Yirmiyahu is hinting to here is if Am Yisrael wants to be saved, we have to make sure to know how to act properly, which is to know God and to call out in His name properly. If we do that, we would not be deserving of punishment anymore. Therefore, Yirmiyahu's final line in this parak, which is the final line of an entire section in Sefer Yirmiyahu, is that God should punish those who don't help God out, and He should save those who are worthy to be saved. So when the Navi asks, don't punish us too hard, he's also hinting to how Am Yisrael needs to act, how his nation has to act, so that God would be kinder to them, even within this punishment. That's also important what we say the Seder, when we quote this Pasuk, when we invite Eliyahu Navi, of Shvocha Matcha L'Goyim Asher Lo Yaduucha, again we put too much accent on Shvocha Matcha L'Goyim, get your anger at the nations. The point Yirmiyahu was making is nations Asher Lo Yaduucha, or Mishpocht Asher B'Shimcha Lo Karo. Those two phrases are exactly what Am Yisrael is about. And we're asking God, punish those nations who don't serve you properly. But by saying that, we're reminding ourselves how we have to act properly in order to be deserving of redemption and to protect us from potential punishment.